39. We're still in this series of doing business with God. I tell you, I got back from work this morning about 3 o'clock, and I couldn't sleep. I wanted to get a couple more hours in, but I just read Genesis 37 and 39 over again this morning, and man, I just, you know, I've been in it all week, but to read it again, we can learn so much from the Bible about everyday life. I mean, there's nothing that goes on in life that's not in here. And I feel like we're supposed to teach that. And so the next couple of Sundays, we're going to be talking about work. Remember, we said we spend 40% of our life there. And we're going to look at what is God's will for our work. And so I want to look at what it takes. But I got to say this, Tammany, you sounded good. We got to stick that mic in front of you more often. I'm dead. All of a sudden, for the very first time. And I didn't know where it came from because there was no... It's all right there. You know, but we're going to look at what it takes to get a job, and we're going to look at what it takes to get a promotion. And, you know, most people think that you get a promotion as a reward from past service. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's just not true. People don't get promoted because of past performance. You know, they get promoted on the promise of future performance to do better, to accomplish more, and to benefit the company in the future. So before we get into the message, I want to tell you about a few laws that they are, you know, about promotion and something. You can write these down if you want to. I didn't really leave you a good spot to do that. But if you want to, promotions are given, you know, the first law I want to tell you is promotions are given for future performance and not past. Not past. You know, and the second law is this. If you're valuable, if you're extremely valuable in the job where you're at right now, you're probably not going to get a promotion. Irreplaceable people don't get promoted because nobody wants to move you. You're the only one that can do it. You haven't trained anybody. So train somebody to do what you do so that you're not irreplaceable. Does that make any sense? And then the another law is if it costs your employer more to replace you, then they're not going to replace you. Not going to promote you. And another one is that your employers, you only get promoted if your employers think that you will benefit them in a new position. Got it? It's to benefit, you know, And another thing is if you're continually working on something unimportant in your company, then you become unimportant. Get involved in an important project, a project that's important to your company. Volunteer. And the next one might be is that promotions aren't really necessarily based on how good you are. They're based on how somebody else knows how good you are. Did I say that right? So, and this is not bragging either. It's not a sin to let people know what you're good at. Jesus said this in Matthew. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all to see. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Shine out. Shine out for all to see. God wants you and He wants me to shine at work. I'm telling you, Christians should have the best reputation for quality work. Christians should have the best reputation for being enthusiastic, encouraging. You know, so how do you stand out at work to get noticed? You know, how do I get out of this dead-end job that I feel stuck in? You know, how do I get this promotion? Or how do I get hired for a job? You know, when there's so much competition out there, how do I do good in this interview? You know, and a lot of you people, folks are there right now. You know, how do I stand out in the whole process? You know, if you're anywhere in this position right here, you picked a good weekend to come to church. This one and the next weekend. Because we're going to look at the six most promoted traits. Traits that are in demand for promotion. We're going to look at three of them this week and three of them next week. Now you say, well, how do you know that, Jim? You know, well, because they're covered in the most amazing promotion story of all time. Genesis 37 through Genesis chapter 50. It's all about one guy. His name is Joseph. Joseph went from rags to riches. He went from nobody to somebody. Joseph went from slave, from kidnapped slave to being in charge of the greatest empire of this time. The richest country on earth at this time, Egypt. He went from being in prison to the president. He was second only to Pharaoh, and he wasn't even Egyptian. That's an amazing story. That's an amazing promotion process. And he did all this in one lifetime. The Bible tells us, you know, just when I was reading, I thought, you know, the Bible tells us in these scriptures that they're teach by example. So the scripture teaches by example. So we're going to look at these traits, you know, in Joseph's life that caused him and helped him to go from prisoner to president. Let me give you some background first. No, his dad's name was Jacob. Oh, Jacob was actually has everybody heard of Abraham? Abraham, you know, he was the older guy when he had the baby and his wife, and they had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob. So Jacob was Abraham's grandson. Now, has everybody heard about the 12 tribes of Israel? These 12 tribes of Israel were Jacob's sons. He had 12 sons. Now, number 11, the 11th child, can you imagine having 12 boys? The 11th son was named Joseph. And I don't know why, but Joseph, maybe it's because he was getting older, but Joseph was Jacob's favorite. And just like at our house, there was four of us. But if one of us thought the other one was their favorite, guess what the other three did? They hated him. But he bought Joseph this nice-looking multicolored robe. And I'm sure Joseph did a little flaunting around in it. You know, saying, look at me, I got the multicolored robe and y'all got whatever that is. But so they didn't like him. He was daddy's boy. And so Joseph probably rubbed that in their noses a little bit. At least they thought they did. So one day the other 11 brothers, conspired to kill him. But the oldest brother, I think his name was Reuben. Reuben said, hey guys, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. Like, which is worse? He was sweetening it. He said, let's sell him into slavery. So this caravan of Arabs came by and they bought him. And the brothers faked his death. They took that colored robe and they tore it in pieces and they put kind of some blood all over it and they took it to Jacob and they said, you know, he's dead. Some kind of wild animal got a hold of him. Well, the Arabs went to Egypt in this caravan and then they auctioned Joseph off. And a guy named Potiphar, if I'm saying that right, a guy named Potiphar bought Joseph. And it's funny as you read it, the Bible tells us no matter where Joseph went and no matter what circumstance that he wound up in, he had God's favor. He had God's favor. He just kept getting promoted everywhere he went. You know, even in the worst circumstances, he had God's favor on his life. Well, Potiphar begins to like him. You know, and he begins to trust him. Potiphar was an extremely rich guy, and he puts him in charge of his entire house. Well, Then something happens. He's kind of a young guy. Mrs. Potiphar, she begins to notice, you know, young Joseph. He's good looking. He's probably the spitting image of Jim Pink. And that's just kind of what my mind was going when I was reading. And she begins to seduce him. But old Joseph, he holds fast. He refuses, you know, to give in. And he just keeps pushing her away. No, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. But after so many times of being spurned, she's upset and she claims Joseph raped her. Well, Potiphar throws him into prison. So he's gone from bad to worse. You know, and it's, you know, I hear people all the time, they get in these situations, where's God in all this? And when you first read that, you know, he throws him into prison. Where's God in all this? He's been faithful. He's been faithful. Where's God in all this? And maybe you're right there today. I want to tell you the story ain't over yet. Just like it wasn't over with Joseph, the story is not finished. Because God had Joseph exactly where he needed him. Because just so happens in the same jail, Pharaoh's cupbearer, and I believe it was his baker and the cupbearer, well, they got in a little trouble. And so Pharaoh had them put in jail. And they had a couple of dreams, the cupbearer and the baker did. And while they were there, Joseph interpreted the dreams. Well, later on, the cupbearer got out and was restored to power back in the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh has this dream, and nobody can interpret it. And the cupbearer remembers his days in prison. He said, hey, I know a man that can do that. I know a man that can interpret your dreams. And Pharaoh said, go get him. Well, the problem is he's in prison. He said, I'm Pharaoh. Go get him. So he goes, gets Pharaoh. He goes, gets Joseph. And Joseph says, oh, yeah. What that means is you got 7 good years of good times and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh said, well, what should I do? He said, well, you need to get the smartest man in the land. And you need to set aside a plan. You need to take 20% of every year and put back grain and oats and all this stuff so that you can have enough to feed the people probably in the entire, you know, earth as far as it'll reach out right here. And Pharaoh said, you know what? I will hire the smartest man. I think that's you. He went to being the second most from prison to the second most powerful man on earth. On earth. Now that's a promotion. That's a promotion. How did that happen? We learned, like I said, we learned 6 things in this whole story about promotion, about being hired, about work. And these still work today. Every one of these still work today. And so we're going to talk about 6 of them. We're going to talk about 3 of them today. Now these are not in order of importance. They're in chronological order. I want to tell you this is how they come up. And so when we're filling in these blanks, don't think that the first one is the second one's more important. They're in chronological order. They're what happened in life. Let's jump in. The first trait that Joseph showed was number 1, audacity. Audacity. If you want to make something a career, if you want to make it in a career, you got to show audacity. You got to show this character that Joseph has developed. Now, in each of these qualities, I'm going to show you, I'm going to define them for you. And so write this down, fill in these blanks here. The definition of audacity is this: the courage to think big. The courage to think big. Then show initiative and take risk for a dream while facing the possibility of failure. This is the first trait that we see in Joseph's life here. Look at this verse here. Joseph had a dream. He had a big dream. It says, when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. When he told his father, as he had his brothers, remember, it says, I'm going to be in, something like we're going to be in a hay field, and all you boys are going to bow down to my stack of hay. And then he told his dad, he said, hey, you and mom going to do it too? It's just the way it goes. Well, it says, when he told his father, as he had his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you have? So his brothers rebuked him. His dad has rebuked him because it was a big dream. Because his dream was that he would be the most powerful leader in the world. Even more powerful than his brothers and his dad. Well, you know what? Maybe he shouldn't have told his brothers. In hindsight, maybe he shouldn't have told them. But I want to give you some advice if you're an up-and-coming entrepreneur. Not every dream should be shared with everybody. Not every dream should be shared with everybody. I'm saying that to say, if God gives you a dream, only share it with people who can help you. Only share it with people who can help you get there. Don't go around telling everybody. Because lots of times, even your family will say, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Getting all big. You forget where you come from. Just stuff like that. Not everybody was behind me. Not everybody was behind me starting North Point. Some call me stupid. Some call me other names. Lots of different things. The Bible said him and his brothers, his dad and his brothers, rebuked him. You know why? Because his dream was so audacious. I like that word. Say it with me. Audacious. Say it with me. You feel good like I do. Audacious. You feel audacious? I want you to feel audacious. You know, but sometimes it just, there comes to a point when you got this dream that you got to step out in faith. And sometimes it just ain't going to make sense. Just ain't going to make sense when God gives you these dreams. Audacity. He got the audacity. Y'all know how many times I've heard people tell me that? I've heard them talk about you that way too. They got the audacity. If you know what God wants you to do, step out in faith. Go with this audacity. So I want to ask you today, where you need to be audacious? I'm not talking about arrogant. Where do you need to be audacious? Where do you need to take some risk? Now let's look at the second key to get promoted. This is kind of a nice one. I want you to remember this one. Likeability. I'm not sure if that's a word or not. Likeability. What that means is people have to like you if you're going to get promoted. People trust you if they like you. If they don't like you, they don't trust you. You know, I even tell preachers, because I believe you wouldn't be here listening to me if you didn't like me. I tell the other pastors, if they don't like you, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to read what you wrote. I had a friend of mine call me this week, John Dow. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about. He said, I've been following you on Facebook. I like your rides through town that you ride every night. This is the way John talks. He said, I like him. He said, you don't hit a home run every time. But I like him. Well, the reason why he keeps writing to me even after I don't hit a home run reading them is because he likes me. And so I just started laughing. You just have to know you don't hit a home run every time. but he likes me. It's likability. Because it doesn't matter how smart you are. If folks don't like you, forget about it. The Bible doesn't use that word that I use, likability. But it uses word like honor. and favor. You know, it says if you'll do these things, you'll have favor of God and men. What that means is you'll be likable. And a lot of people think that likability is a matter of personality. You're either a likable person or you're not a likable person. You're born with it or not. Nothing is further from the truth. Likability is not personality. It's character. It's a choice. It's behavior. How you choose to relate to other people. You say, well, Jim, how can I be liked by other people? How can I be liked by other people? It's real simple. Like them. Like them. If you like people, they'll like you. They'll like you. You know, too many times we like people who like us. But to be likable, you got to like people. You got to like people. And that's not personality. That's character. It's a choice. You know, choosing to be interested in others and not think about yourself. So look at the definition of likability. It took me a while to get there. Here it is. Possessing the attractive attitudes and relational skills that cause others to want to work with me. That's a good one right there. I like that last part. To call others to want to work with me. You have the attitude and the skills that cause people to want to work with you, to enjoy being around you. You're likable. They want to team up with you. They want to hitch their wagon to that star. You ever heard that? Hitch that wagon. Genesis 39, like Joseph lived in the town of Potiphar, his Egyptian owner. Soon Potiphar realized that the Lord was helping Joseph to be successful in whatever he did. Potiphar took a liking to Joseph. Look at there, took a liking. Underline, took a liking to Joseph and made him his personal assistant. Took a liking. Potiphar noticed he's good. He may be a little audacious, but he said, I like this guy. I also like him. And he promoted him to his personal assistant. You know what a personal assistant is? I'm not sure either, but it sounds like they're around him a whole lot. He wanted to be around him. It wasn't a bodyguard or nothing like that. He's running his household. He said, whatever Joseph says, that's me. He's his personal assistant. Well, what's an attractive attitude? Let's look at that just for a moment. You know, what attracts people to you and what's attractive to you? Is humility attractive to you? I mean, do you like being around an egotist or a humble person? Is cheerful attractive to you? Do you want to be around a cheerful person? Or a Debbie Downer? Do you want to be around a helpful person? Optimistic, encouraging, empathetic? You're likable. Likable. Bosses like likable people. They promote likable people. They don't fire them. If you're a young person, I want to give you some advice. Young person. Just starting off. I'm telling you, I've learned this stuff. Learned it here even at North Point. If you're a young person just starting off, find as many mentors as you can. Find as many mentors as you can. You know, in the company where you're working at, get four or five. Because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If you start to make a mess, those four or five mentors will stand up for you. You'll become almost unfireable. You know why I think I'm, and I don't want to sound cocky, I'm almost unfireable at North Point, not because I'm a volunteer. I think I'm almost unfireable Because I got three mentors that I meet with on Wednesday morning. I got another mentor I meet when we can. And if I find myself in a mess, those four men are going to stand up for me. Or they're going to tell me where I'm wrong. They're going to take up for me. Does that make any sense at all? Find you some mentors and meet with them. Somebody that will be your defensive back. Who will stand up for you. Guys, I promise you, you'll go far. Not only will they protect you from getting fired, they'll more than likely help you get promoted. Because they see something in you. Another thing, if you see somebody going far in business, there's no saying, hitch your wagon to a superstar. And not a old lazy person, but hitch it to a superstar and ride with a guy named George. Was studying, actually, kind of on the road to be a priest, a Greek Orthodox. And he made a decision that he wanted to work for a rising political campaign. And this guy started going up and up in the political ladder. Then and eventually this guy was elected president. His name was Bill Clinton. I know some of you guys, but I ain't talking about politics. But his name was Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton became secretary, he made this guy that used to run errands around his political campaign, his name was George Stephanopoulos. He made him the press secretary. Now, Clinton has been out of office for years. Do you guys know George Stephanopoulos? He has his own show. Because he hitched his wagon to a rising superstar. Started off running errands in a campaign, but guess what? He was likable. Number three, last one we're going to talk about today. Third key to getting promoted is capacity. The amount of abilities that you've got and that you're already using, if you're using all your abilities that you have, you're not going to get promoted. But if you keep learning, if you keep developing, you will get promoted. You got capacity. Capacity is this definition. My potential for growth. The desire to keep learning so I can increase in competence and handle greater responsibility. What's your potential for growth? Will you be the same that you are 10 years from now? Are you reading any books? Are you going to seminars? Are you doing something to develop your skills? Are you doing something to develop your relational skills? You know, if we want to grow even here at North Point, our staff has to have the capacity to do new things, new stuff. All leaders, one thing I found out is all leaders are learners. The moment you stop learning, you stop leading. Growing businesses require growing people. You got to have capacity. This happened to Joseph. He keeps stretching himself, learning. He's got capacity. Look at chapter 39. Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with Potiphar. Soon he put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Is God blessing the business you work at for your sake? Is that business you're working at prospering because you're there? Are you that kind of person? Do you have that kind of capacity? Let me tell you something about Joseph. He'd never run a household before. He didn't know anything about putting up for countries. But he learned. He was willing to be stretched. He had capacity. Capacity. Are you that kind of person? Guys, if you keep learning, you'll keep growing. And God will keep blessing. But if you stop learning, you're going to stop growing. And you have very limited capacity. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the life of Joseph. I'm so glad you wrote it down. I'm really glad you had the folks write it down. That your word here, your Holy Bible, affects every area of our life. And you want the best for us. You don't have plans to hurt us. You have plans to prosper us, to be successful. So I pray that we begin to develop audacity, likability, and capacity. Stretch us, Lord. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.